And now, Prophecy Q&A with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung and Jimmy DeYoung Jr.
Thank you, Jay. This is Jimmy DeYoung Jr., and you're listening to Prophecy Q&A Live. Dad, where are you this week?
Well, this week, Jim, we're in the southern part of Massachusetts. Now, even though we're in the south, I'm in North Dartmouth, Massachusetts, and we're at the Dartmouth Bible Church. This is a brother that actually lived about a block from the church where I spoke last weekend in Washington, D.C., there at Capitol Baptist. That's where he grew up, and he then got saved. He was a part of another denominational church, but got saved, went away to Dallas Seminary, and for 28 years has been working in cold New England, endeavoring to try to establish a church. Great group of people came out last night. This is in WARV country, which is one of those Bill Blount radio stations, and people that listen to the broadcast, our weekend broadcast, Prophecy Today Weekend, they have come over to study the prophetic word of God with me. We're having a great time, and praise the Lord for the opportunity to be here. Go from here. We're going to do a rally up in Rhode Island for the Blount Radio Broadcasting Operation. And then from there, we go to Scroon Lake, New York for about 3 weeks. We'll be very busy up there, traveling away on the weekends. And so the hot summer is going to be where we are during this time of ministry. I know that you tomorrow are going to be leaving yourself, and you'll be leaving out of the country, going to another place. Tell us where you, your brother, and your three nephews are going.
We sure are, Dad. We leave tomorrow. We're heading to Montenegro. We're flying through Rome and then into a place called Bari, Italy, and we're taking the ferry across the Adriatic Sea. We'll do a boot camp in a place called Dubrovnik, Croatia, for a couple days. We have about seven going with us on this portion of the trip. And we're going to be teaching them prophecy and how to do open-air evangelism. We are actually going to do basketball and soccer camps and English camps in the city of Nikšić, Montenegro, which is part of the old Yugoslavia. And so that's where we're headed. We'll join up with some groups from Philadelphia, also from Birmingham, Alabama. And we're working with Eric Murphy and Jimmy Compton in that area of the world. And they have started these camps several years ago. It's a country that has very few Christians in it, totally open to the gospel and evangelism. And we're using sports and education, the teaching of English, as the kind of the way to get into the hearts of these people and then share the gospel message with them each night, open-air evangelism, all kinds of things that that we'll prepare the young people for as we go on this trip.
Jim, I am so glad that it's you and Rick, our two sons, going, and then our three grandsons, Joshua, Trent, and Tanner. Because you guys know how to play basketball and soccer. You are an All-American, of course, and Rick is a big, tall guy. I can almost reach up and hold on to the basket standing there. So this makes it very good for you guys to go into the country of Montenegro to be able to teach these things. And I'm sure glad you're not taking me along to teach English. The only foreign language I had difficulty with in college was English, but you guys get it together and do a great job. We'll be praying for you while you're there.
Thank you, and we covet the prayers of all that listen to our program. Well, Dad, we've got quite a few questions this week, and we probably should get right to them. Ronnie sends in a question. He says, I know and believe God created the heaven, earth, and everything in it. Why did God make his word so hard for the normal person to read and understand without it having to be explained or taught, which has caused so many different interpretations? Also, if God is the ruler of everything, why doesn't he choose to come back and rule the earth from the day of his return just because he can, instead of the way Revelation says he is going to do it through the tribulation and the millennial reign?
Well, Renny, let me just first of all say, God's word is written for every man, the normal man. Hey, buddy, I am one of those normal persons that you're talking about. I'm pretty simple, and I read the word of God. I have to study. I'm not a guy that gets everything easy. I spend much time in study of the word of God. But I can read it, and Jim, my son, who's on the broadcast with me right now, hosting this Q&A time, we both are just normal guys, and we read the Word of God, and we come to an understanding. Now, it says in the Word, study to show thyself approved. Well, that's exactly what we need to do. Spend some time studying the Word. I understand that when you listen to different interpretations, that may take you down a rabbit trail, and thus the reason for so many denominations out there and different ideas about what's happening. But God's Word is plain and simple. It'll help you to understand if you simply look at it, read it, and come to the understanding that it has there for you. What God wrote is what we need to know. That's what He wants us to know, and He will give us that information. Listen, the Holy Spirit, who wrote the Word through these 40 men over 1,500 years, is the same Holy Spirit, Ronnie, that lives within you if you know Christ as Savior. He lives in me, and He will make known what His Word is talking about. By the way, when you're talking about the tribulation period and why does the book of Revelation have to unfold the way it does before He sets up His reign, there are three basic reasons for the tribulation period, Ronnie. Number one, it's to bring an end to the Gentile world powers. That's what Daniel chapter 2 is talking about when it says that stone hits those 10 toes and that image of the man and destroys it. What actually happens at that point in time is that really you're seeing the destruction of the Gentile world powers. That's a part of the tribulation period. Secondly, it's a time for evangelization of the Jew. Many Jews will come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior during that time. The Bible talks about the time of Jacob's trouble, which in fact, if you look at the book Ezekiel, by the way, that was Jeremiah 30, verse 7. But Ezekiel talks about many times, I think over 98 times it says, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So all of these judgments during the tribulation period are turning the Jews to Jesus Christ. A third reason for that tribulation period is that it has to bring to an end to the satanic trinity, Satan, Antichrist, and a false prophet. Remember, at the end of the tribulation period, Antichrist and the false prophet thrown into the lake of fire, Satan, chapter 20, verses 1, 2, and 3, he's cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, released for a season, and then he is thrown into the lake of fire where the Antichrist and the false prophet are located. So those are three main reasons for the tribulation period. Remember, at the end of that time, the Lord, God the Father, gives Jesus the Son this kingdom, this dominion that will be forever. Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And that book that is in the hand of the Father, Revelation chapter 5, the title deed to the earth, it's a sealed book, but it contains all 21 of the judgments in that seven-year period of time. This title deed to the earth is so that the Lord Jesus Christ can reign the earth under submission and earth dwellers under submission. Then he will be given this kingdom, the thousand-year kingdom. Just read the Word, Ronnie, and just let it speak to you. Get it alone. Get your mind off of other things. Allow the Word of God to speak to you. By the way, thanks for the question. And remember, it is a bit of study. It's not just falling off the log type of operation.
Renee sends in a question. She says, I try to read Prophecy Today every day. Recently, I heard they found a big pocket of natural gas off the coast of Israel and shale oil, which I believe will start the conflict along with the UN giving Palestine their own state in August, and Israel refuses to leave. What do you think?
Well, indeed, anything that Israel may get as far as helping them to prosper in that part of the world, the Islamic world does not want to see happen. You see, there's a law in Islam. It's called the House of Islam. And any time a piece of real estate has been under the control of Islamic leaders for any period of time, although they didn't establish a state, but they did when Saladin came in, he was there and he brought all of Israel under his control. That was the time of the Crusaders, of course. But it was in the House of Islam. Well, if indeed somebody else other than an Islamic nation prospers there, i.e. the Jewish nation prospering today in that part of the world, it's in the face of Allah, so they're going to be upset about it. So whether it's natural gas or shale oil or whatever the nation of Israel may be able to prosper with, that's going to bring them some concern. But you're right, I believe, Renee. And when the United Nations declares, and it's going to be September instead of August, I think, but whenever it is, whenever they declare unilaterally a Palestinian state, The Israeli government's going to reject it, and the Palestinian people will go to the street, and there's going to be a conflict. I see that ahead. That is going to be the case. There is a suggestion now by some of the Palestinian leadership that they put off this declaration at the United Nations of a unilateral Palestinian state until next year. We'll have to see how that floats. But anyway, that's the situation now. Thank you for your question, Renee.
Hey, Dad, we're talking about a Palestinian state. Was there ever a Palestinian state?
No, there wasn't, Jimmy. That's a very good point. There has never been a Palestinian state. From about 1500 to 1917, the Ottoman Turkish Empire controlled that part of the world, the Middle East, and in particular what we know as Israel today. Then in 1917, the Brits defeated the Ottoman Empire, and the British Empire took over until the United Nations in 1947, November the 29th, gave permission for the Jews to have a state. And then, of course, in May the 15th of 1948, Ben-Gurion announced a Jewish state in the Middle East. So there has never been a Palestinian state. The deputy foreign minister, Danny Ayalon, has just put out a YouTube video. It's on our website. And the title of it is The Israelis Decide to Tell the Truth About the West Bank. But in that video, it's only 6 minutes long. Go to our website, prophecytoday.com. It'll be very interesting for you to watch. But in there, Danny Ayalon, who is the foreign minister, he used to be the ambassador from Israel to the United States in Washington, he makes the statement that there was never a Palestinian state, so what are they talking about? And in fact, there was no Palestinian state in what they call the West Bank. That was the West Bank of Jordan, so that should have belonged to Jordan, not a Palestinian state. You know, words have meanings, and I think it's important we understand that. But watch that video. It's on our website, prophecytoday.com.
Shirley sends in a question. She says she's asked this question before, and I think we might have answered it, but I think it maybe she didn't hear it, and I would encourage everyone, if you're listening to our program, go back, listen to our archive programs of Prophecy Q&A Live. But she asked the question, my granddaughter died at the age of 6, and as far as I know, had not heard the gospel. She was not brought up in a Christian household. Do you believe that she has gone to heaven?
I've got to tell you, Shirley, I am not absolutely positive that I can give you a verse of Scripture that guarantees that. Now, having said that, let me tell you what King David said. Remember, King David had a young son that would die, and he says in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23 that his grandson went to heaven. He said, he cannot come back to me, but I can go to him. That seems to indicate, Shirley, that those children who die under the age of accountability, who have no idea how to receive Christ as Lord and Savior, or anybody, someone that may be mentally deprived and not be able to come to an understanding, at their death they would go into the presence of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm just supposing that, Shirley, and I'm not trying to discourage you. I want to encourage you by the fact that the Lord has a wonderful love for the little children. Read Matthew chapter 18 sometime. You know, all the little children have guardian angels. And the Lord said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Jesus Christ loves the little children. He's not going to let any harm come to them. And if they are not at the age of accountability, are able to understand their sinners needing a Savior, Jesus Christ would be that one, of course. If they don't understand that, I believe he takes them into the heavenlies. But I can't give you an absolute verse, just inference from what 2 Samuel 12, 23 has to say. I'm sure the Lord will take care of that precious little granddaughter of yours.
Paula DeShane sends in a question. She said, I have a question for Dr. DeYoung. He is always saying that Israel will be divided again into Judea and Israel and then reunited at the end. I was just thinking that the division of Israel and Judea could occur by Israel giving the Palestinians Judea or the West Bank. Could this be the division that takes place?
No, Paula, that is incorrect, because what does the text have to say about this? The text says Israel and Judah. That is two locations that it's talking about. It tells there in Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 15 to 23, Ezekiel the prophet to take two sticks. On one stick, put Israel, on the other stick put Judah, and it's for the Jewish people. So it's talking about two states, two Jewish states. Remember I said words do have meanings. Don't allow current events to dictate what you may think the word is saying. By the way, just check out Ezekiel chapter 35. Ezekiel 35 is a prophecy against the Edomites, or the Palestinian people of today. And in verse 10 it says that the Lord will do away with the Palestinians as if they had never been at the end of time. And when Jesus Christ comes back, he will do away with them because they take two states. That's two Jewish states that's talked about in Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 15 to 23. And so we're talking about what the Word has to say, not what we may think be the case. Thank you, Paula.
Dan Lycan sends in a question. When does the scenario in Psalm 83 occur where Israel deals with the Edomites, its closest neighbors?
Yeah, you know, that's a very interesting thought, Dan. The Edomites, or the Palestinians, as I just said a moment ago, are the closest neighbors to the Jewish people in the state of Israel. When you look at Psalm 83, you have to go along with Ezekiel 38 and Daniel 11 as parallel passages that give us a list of nations that are going to come against the state of Israel. But I understand as we look at the passage there, Psalm 83 and verse 6, it's talking about Edom and the tabernacle of Edom, and that is the Palestinian people today. They are going to be judged, not at the beginning, and that's when Psalm 83, Daniel 11, and Ezekiel 38 are fulfilled in the first 6 months of the tribulation period. But these Edomites, the Palestinians of today, will be dealt with when Jesus Christ comes back. That's the little book of Obadiah, and it's verse 18. Israel will be the fire or the flame, and the Palestinians, the Edomites, will be the stubble or the wood that will be burned up. So Psalm 83, and right there where it talks about Edom, verse 6, that happens at the end of the tribulation period.
Chris from Maryland sends in a question. He says, since we know Jesus is true and faithful, I was studying the Jewish wedding. I know now that the wedding system that that the Jews use is in fact the way Jesus' relationship with his church is today. Even so, since we are in the separation period, hence the I go to prepare a place for you in Scripture, I found out that the bridegroom always went for his bride at night. My thinking is Jesus will rapture us at night, as he said, I'll come as a thief in the night. Am I wrong?
Well, let me just think through that with you a moment, Chris. I don't want to say you're absolutely wrong, but you're right. You're correct in the fact that there's an interesting parallel between the Jewish wedding and how Jesus has a relationship with his church. The Jewish wedding has three parts: the engagement period, and then there's the ceremony, and finally the celebration of that Jewish wedding. What happens when you look at Christianity in light of that and what's going to take place at the end, remember, we as the body of Christ, as the bride of Christ, will be married to Jesus Christ. And that happens after the rapture of the church. But let me remind you, Chris, immediately after the rapture of the church, you have the judgment seat of Christ. In fact, that's how we determine what our wedding gown will be. Revelation chapter 19, verse 8 says, the wedding gown for the bride of Christ will be the clean linen, or our righteous acts, our righteous deeds. And that's determined there at the judgment seat of Christ. So the rapture happens, then we go to the judgment seat of Christ, and once we have our wedding gown, we will be married to Jesus Christ. Now let me just think with you about that Jewish wedding. I know, and Jimmy and I can testify, in fact, Jim has been on a television crew that has actually done videotography of these young couples preparing that day and getting ready to go to the ceremony, but they take many pictures all around the countryside. They go to the Western Wall. They go to the Southern Steps. They go to important locations, important to the Jewish people, and they take their wedding pictures. Now, that means they're together, and so that groom has come to get his bride already. Then they go to the ceremony. And by the way, a thief in the night, that's for lost people. We're not expecting a thief in the night. We're expecting the bridegroom. Whether the rapture takes place at night is not correct, because the rapture could happen at any moment. mean, right now, it's 7 o'clock East Coast time, or in that hour, we're ready for the rapture. Jimmy and I could be disappearing from this radio broadcast any moment. Or it could have happened earlier this morning. The rapture can happen at any moment. So don't stretch that parallel. Just allow it to work smoothly, Chris.
Robbie Griffin sends in a statement, actually, and maybe, Dad, you can expound upon this. He says, just listen to an end-time prophecy teacher who said the United States is in the Bible in Daniel 7, verse 4. I looked at the text and do not agree with him. That is where all the Chaldean Empire is mentioned, not the United States. Why would anyone teach the Antichrist in the seven-year period without mentioning when and if the church will be caught away? We are living in such a dangerous time with so much deception in the church. People not knowing the original Greek and Hebrew text is really going to be a problem. We tend to believe whatever we hear.
Well, Robbie, let me say, let's don't believe everything we hear or read. We need to study for ourselves what the Word of God has to say. Now, I do not believe that you have to have the original Greek or the original Hebrew and a capability to be proficient in those languages to read from the either Greek text or Hebrew text. Spyros Zodiates was a great Greek scholar. He has an excellent book, a tool that can be used for you to really understand what the Greek is talking about. And they have additional books in Hebrew that way as well. So I'm not saying you have to have the original Greek or Hebrew language under your belt to be able to understand what the passages are. But indeed, we need to read the Word of God. When you're looking at Daniel 7:4, for example, it's talked about being lion. Well, that's the emblem. It's been so for, I guess, 2,500 years at least. The winged lion is the emblem for the Babylonian Empire. And when you look, that was a vision that the young prophet, well, not so young, maybe 70 years of age at that time, Daniel was having, as he had interpreted the dream when he was a real young boy, 15 years of age, back there for Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 2 of the book of Daniel. And so he gets this vision, and it's a similar vision. It's the Gentile world powers. The next verse, verse 5, is talking about a bear with three ribs in his mouth. That represents the Medo-Persian Empire. Then the Grecian Empire is represented by a leopard with four heads and four tails. The next one is an awesome beast with iron teeth. That's the Roman Empire. So in the context, that's not talking about the United States. Simply read and understand the context. Jim, you need to give us the dates for the prophecy conference in Gatlinburg, where we're going to have David James come in and teach biblical hermeneutics. This will help us to get a approach to interpreting the scriptures. This is going to be a great time. I'll be speaking there, teaching through the book of Revelation chronologically. But David James, you don't want to miss that. Biblical hermeneutics. What's the date on that, Jim?
September 5th through the 9th, Dad, in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Just give our office a call, and we'll give you all the information, or you can just click on our website. All the information is there so that you can register and join with us there in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Calvin sends in a question. He says, where do you substantiate the concept that the Jewish nation is still God's chosen people? It is my understanding from the Bible that when they rejected Jesus, that was the end of their being God's special people. So I don't understand why you think there is still to be a kingdom set up by Jesus with the Jewish people being the center of its fulfillment.
You know, Calvin, the tenor of your question concerns me because it seems like you're saying, and I'm not attacking you, dear brother, I'm just saying it seems like you're saying that God has done away with the Jewish people. Now, that would be an impossibility, and let me tell you four reasons why. Number one, the Abrahamic covenant, Genesis chapter 15. In that covenant, God promises the Jewish people they will be a nation forever. That's an unconditional promise. He cannot break it. The second reason is the land covenant, Deuteronomy 30, where he promises to give them a piece of real estate. Can't be a nation without a piece of real estate. And he promises to give them, if you study all the passages in Scripture dealing with the biblical borders of the Jewish state, it's 10 times what they have today. That's the land covenant, Deuteronomy chapter 30. The third reason is the Davidic covenant, 2 Samuel chapter 7, where God promises King David, and by the way, Jeremiah the prophet says, you have to do away with the night and day in order to be able to break the promise he made to King David. And that means there's going to be a temple on the Temple Mount in the city of Jerusalem, and one of the people of David's legacy, his family, will come back, and that would, of course, would be Jesus Christ. He would come back to Jerusalem, build that temple, go into it, sit there, rule and reign forever. And the fourth reason has to be the new covenant, Jeremiah 31:31, where the Lord says, you will be my people, and I will be your God. That's future, all of it, every bit of it, Calvin, and you need to be aware of the fact that that's what God's word says. By the way, in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God, listen, hath chosen thee. Here in Deuteronomy, the Lord is talking through Moses to the Jewish people. He said, God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest in all the number of the people, but because the Lord loved you. Indeed, the Lord has chosen the Jewish people. Those four covenants are absolutes. If he can break any of those promises, then we don't want to have anything to do with him, because he could break his promise to us of eternal life. No, the Jews have not been replaced by the church. God has a plan for the church, but he also has a plan for the Jewish people, and that is a kingdom to come, where indeed the Jewish people will receive that kingdom, and Jesus Christ at that time will be their king.
Thank you, Calvin, for that question, and I suggest that you listen to Dr. Rennie Showers on our website. You can go back and listen to last weekend's program, an interview that Dad did with Dr. Rennie Showers speaking about replacement theology.
By the way, Jim, on our website, on the home page, we have that right there, right now. Let me just, while we're sitting here for a moment, look up front the whole page. It's called A Special Report, right there on our home page. Replacement Theology, A Very Dangerous Doctrine. I interviewed Rennie Showers, Dr. Rennie Showers. It's a very important interview you need to listen to, so just go to our homepage, double-click on it. I'll bring up a little way for you to listen to the entire interview. Good suggestion, Jim.
Well, our last question this week comes from Robert Rice. Again, this is one of my favorite questions. Here's a gentleman who is a former pastor teaching out in Everett, Washington. He's teaching the book of Revelation. He's actually in chapter 11. He said this, and it's a great question. He says, I'm an old 76.7, so we know that Robert is exact. He says, 76.7-year-old student of the Word with two earned degrees. Not to impress you, because I can't do that, but I greatly appreciate your knowledge and wisdom of prophecy. Compared to you, I am minor league. Well, Robert, don't underestimate yourself.
He says,
I would love for you, if possible, to answer a question in Revelation chapter 11, verse 19, a reference to a temple of God is in heaven. And in Revelation 21:22, John says, I saw no temple therein. So he says, I greatly admire your knowledge and wisdom regarding Bible prophecy and the book of Revelation. And he's asking for your analysis on this scripture.
Hey, Bob, let me just tell you, thank you for keeping on and keeping on, buddy. You're encouraging to me. I'm only 71. You got me by five and more years. But I'm thrilled to hear that you're teaching the Word of God, and I hope I'm plugging away just like you are 5 years from now. Interesting question there in Revelation chapter 11 and verse 19. Let me read that verse for you. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in this temple was the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of Testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunders and an earthquake and great hail. Well, that temple that is located in the heavens, Bob, is there because of what Hebrews tells us. In the book of Hebrews chapter 9, it says, that which is a replica on the earth, its original is in heaven. I read Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 to 5 along that line as well. And so this is a temple, the original temple in the heavenlies, and the ones that were built here on the earth are simply replicas of that heavenly temple. Now, when you go over to chapter 21, verse 22, We're not talking about heaven at that point in time. Heaven is referred to in chapter 11, verse 19. The third heaven, of course, where God is. But chapter 21 is a description of the new Jerusalem, Bob. And that says very definitely there is no temple in the new Jerusalem. So that would be different than the third heaven. By the way, by the time the new Jerusalem comes around, the third heaven will have been burned up because of satanic appearance there. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10 says that Satan has daily opportunity to go to the throne of God and accuse the brethren before God himself. So the first, second, and third heaven are going to all be destroyed, but the new Jerusalem will come after all of that destruction, and there indeed will be no temple in the new Jerusalem. Howbeit, I got to give you this caveat, Bob. There's going to be a temple on the new earth. That's talked about in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 26 and 28, where it says that his temple, his sanctuary, will be among his people forever. And that's also in the context of King David coming to reign with Jesus Christ as co-regent in that temple, in the new earth, forever, as well as also during the millennial kingdom. But it's also talking about the everlasting covenant that the Lord, forever covenant that he's made with them. So there will be a temple on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem on the new earth, but in the new Jerusalem, no temple because God and Jesus are there. Very interesting questions, Jim, from Bob Rice. And man, he's an encouragement to me, buddy. I mean, you know, you're a young guy, but that's always we got to stick together. So praise the Lord for his teaching the word.
And to be exact, he's about 5.1 years ahead of you since your birthday is in October.
Pinky.
Well, again, Dad, thank you so much for answering these questions. And folks, I'm really encouraged by the amount of questions that have come in, and we're trying to get to them all. Please be patient with us. We appreciate the desire for people to understand where we are in the last days, what the scriptures has to say about the future. And using that, that's what we use to encourage ourselves, others, believers all across this world, as we are quickly approaching and looking and listening for that the rapture of the church to take place. And Dad, as always, I'd love to give you the last word.
Well, Jim, let me just say I'm so proud of my two boys and my three grandsons. They just have blessed my heart. I'm hoping I'm not going to start crying right here. But Jim and Rick are two sons dedicated to serving the Lord. You know, we often talk on this broadcast or any program that I do, and Jimmy in his messages and me in my preaching, we always say you've got to be prepared. Know Christ as Lord and Savior. Live pure, but be productive. Now, my boys are not sitting on their blessed assurance. They're going to gear up. They're going to head out to the foreign field. And what is really exciting to me, they're going to be building into their nephews, our three grandsons, Joshua and Tanner and Trent, going out with them to be involved in ministry. You know, folks, it doesn't get any better than that. And I just have to praise the Lord for our two sons and our three grandsons. And would you pray for them as they travel? Pray for Journey's Mercies. Pray for the power they need to serve there in Montenegro and the other locations where they'll have opportunity for ministry. And we just rejoice in the fact that our family is involved in doing the work of the Lord until he does come back, which could be. The rapture could happen at any moment. Boy, in fact, that would be neat if my boys were all over there doing ministry and Jesus shouted to take them up into heaven. What a place to go from, serving the Lord when he calls you up to be with him. How about following that example of our two sons and our three grandsons? I'm sorry for being so proud of them, but I'm praising the Lord for what they're doing. Hey, thanks a lot for joining us for Prophecy Q&A. We love this time together. Jimmy and I cherish these moments together. And Jimmy said he has a whole bag full of questions. We'll try to get to them in the very near future. Thanks a lot. Remember, Jesus is coming. It could be today. So keep looking up until...